NHPR News.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. For most of our history, downtown was the center of community life in New Hampshire. There was no competition from chain restaurants or big box stores or online retailers. Downtown was where many Granite Staters worked, shopped, and gathered. But that began to change about 50 years ago with the post-war spread to suburbia and the building of the first malls, and an era of downtown decline began. But some towns responded with turnaround efforts as the first Main Street program sprung up in the 1980s, along with other deliberate efforts focused on revitalizing city centers. Now, with several decades of experience behind them, community leaders feel they have a better handle these days on what works and what doesn't, and many have a more sober view of just how tough it can be to make their downtown visions come true. Financing remains hard. The small business climate is tough. And even with all the talk of walkable cities, most people still drive to get where they need to go. And so parking remains a huge hurdle for downtowns to deal with. Today in The Exchange, downtown dreams, how some communities are making them a reality while others struggle. Let's hear from you. If your community has a downtown, how healthy is it? What would improve it? If you don't live near a downtown, what would entice you to make the trip? And overall, what do you see as some of the common pitfalls of downtown redevelopment? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. We have three guests with us in studio. Robbie Grady is here, executive director of the Goffstown Main Street Program. She also facilitates the New Hampshire Vibrant Communities Organization. And Robbie Grady, it's really nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for inviting me.
Also with us, Carrie Deers, executive director of the Nashua Regional Planning Commission, which serves 13 communities in southern New Hampshire. And Carrie, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you.
Also with us, Ben Frost, Director of Public Affairs for New Hampshire Housing. He's been working on downtown issues for a long time. And Ben, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good morning, Laura.
Well, Ben, I'm going to turn to you first. So here's the pitch for paying attention to downtown. This is from the National Main Street Program, and I'm quoting here. They say, Main Street is the economic engine, the big stage, the core of the community. Is that really still the case, Ben?
Well, I think it is in many ways, Laura, because even though and you outlined a bunch of changes that our downtowns have gone through over the past 50 years with the spread of commercial activity as people have relied more and more on their cars. People still identify their communities as in what they see in the downtown. So when you think about, and Robbie will talk about Goffstown or Keene or Manchester or Nashua, there's a heart to each community, and that is the main street. That's where people traditionally think of when they're thinking about their community. So I think it's vitally important that we continue to focus on these parts of our towns. Because they are not just economic centers, but also social centers for our communities. It's where we gather.
So we identify with it. There's an emotional connection, Ben. But does that emotional connection mean dollars? I mean, it's one thing to say, yay, I love downtown. But if people don't go there that much, it doesn't really help.
Well, that's the struggle. And part of that is, as you said, financing. Part of it is the regulations that we've set up to control the use of land, you know, zoning. So developers, property owners face a lot of barriers to using their land in a way that might be economically profitable. And we've got to find ways to make it easier for them to do that.
What do you think, Carrie Deers, about this? Main Street is still the economic engine, still the big stage, still the core of the community.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. I think in looking at how communities think about themselves, they do identify with the downtown. And I think more and more people are realizing that either they're losing the downtown or that they want to make it better. And focusing on the downtown really draws a community together and gives that focus. I know that, you know, I work in the town of Milford, and they see the downtown Oval as the heart of their community. And I think everyone in the region recognizes that. And for each community, there is a unique asset in the downtown that they really want to preserve and enhance.
Yeah, Robbie, jump in on this piece.
It's your home.
it is the front porch of your community, and it's your home. It's where you go to gather for celebrations, the tree lightings, and the New Year's Eve parties. But it's also where you go to mourn when you've had a tragedy in your town. You don't go to a big box store. You don't go to a mall. You go to your downtowns. That's where your heart is. And it is an economic struggle. There are problems that, like Ben mentioned, that cause us to work harder to keep those downtowns vibrant. And I think that's one of the things you mentioned, the National Main Street Center. That's one of the things that Main Street is, as a program, has tried to do, is to really to incorporate those things that make the downtowns healthy, whether it's adding value to the physical core or adding social value or adding economic value, and certainly to have that political value, that someone takes care of it. Someone is there to oversee it, to make sure that it's on track and doing well.
Yeah, and pick up on what I asked Ben as well, Robbie, if you could. I mean, again, an emotional connection, political value, community value, but the businesses that are trying to make it work there, they need value. I mean, they need money.
Absolutely, they do. And that has been a struggle over the past several years as we've watched the national economy take a downturn. But I'm happy to say that those people who weathered the storm had strong roots. They had good business plans. They had good service. They had good inspiration, and they had good support from downtown organizations that helped them get through it. So if you weathered the storm, you were in good shape. It cleared away a lot of businesses that were struggling and unfortunately didn't make it through. But on the other side of it, there is a lot of strength out there, and it made way for some new entrepreneurs that we hadn't seen downtown. If we look across the state, we see a lot of emphasis on buying local campaigns, whether it's locally produced foods or locally produced artwork. We see that in every one of our communities, that real an emphasis on coming back to our homes, what's important to us. And I think the businesses that cater to that are seeing that uptick.
And Carrie, you know, as I said, you're executive director of the Nashua Regional Planning Commission, but you live in Concord. You served recently on a Concord Main Street redesign committee. And so I'm going to give you a couple examples from Concord, although I'm sure they apply to downtowns elsewhere. Couple businesses, Carrie, as you know, recently moved out from downtown, either to the mall area or to a revitalized industrial park, actually not far from here. And these seemed like quintessential downtown type businesses. There was a specialty food shop. There was a microbrew shop. There was a day spa. All three of these businesses said, look, I don't have enough space downtown. The rents are too high and there's no parking. I'm gone. What do you say to those businesses?
Well, it's definitely an economic choice, and hopefully they may reconsider at some point coming back downtown. I do know, you know, it's interesting that the two that moved out toward the mall area located next to each other, which is a very interesting decision, because I think, you know, when you I recognize them from being on Main Street, and I went to their businesses on Main Street, and when I go up to the Heights now, I think, oh, well, I can stop by, you know, Target and then go over to these other places. So, you know, I mean, I think being on Main Street helped them, you know, to continue their business where they are. But I think that the things that we're doing in Concord are going to really benefit in the long run. So maybe at some point businesses like them, or they'll reconsider coming back to Main Street.
I mean, those are the arguments that you hear, Ben. Not enough space, rent's too high, not enough parking.
Well, I think there's also a kind of a seductive appeal to think about the negatives and why it's hard to do this and why we can't do that, and, you know, the city's doing this to us. I think we can also focus on a lot of positives. You know, and I spend a lot of time in Concord. I work down in Bedford, but I spend a lot of time working with the legislature, so I'm always walking the streets. And I see a tremendous amount of activity, a lot of busyness in the business that is going on in Concord. So the business owners who are willing to take a risk and locate in a downtown area as opposed to out where they know there's a lot of vehicular traffic, they are going to be, by and large, pretty well rewarded, because there's so much going on here and in other communities throughout the state.
But other, and I'm not trying to pick on you, Ben, but these three businesses that I know of just right here in front of my nose made a different choice.
Sure, and that is certainly their choice, and they will be appealing to a different clientele because they've done that.
Carrie, go ahead.
And one of the things that we did hear through the Concord Main Street process was there are a lot of people who want to shop on Main Street, and they're young. They're the 20-somethings who make the choice to live downtown and want to shop downtown. And so they're appealing to the businesses to say, look, if you stay here, we'll shop. You know, this is something that's meaningful and a part of our culture that we want. So there is that element that will, you know, purposefully shop on Main Street.
Our phone number here in the exchange for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Join us as we look at downtown redevelopment, some of the challenges that New Hampshire's communities face in resurrecting that downtown lifestyle. Our phone number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Tell us how healthy your community's downtown is and what might make it better. Also, if you don't live near a downtown, if you live out in the country, what entices you to make the trip downtown? Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Robbie Grady, just following up on the point that Carrie made, drawing in that younger demographic, I came across something recently that said that downtown is going to help New Hampshire's demographic problem.
I hope so, because I'm at the other end of that demographic. I'm the baby boomer that is looking to say, who is going to run the businesses when I am retired? And so the whole stay, work, play program is a wonderful addition to try to draw more young people to stay downtown, to live downtown. There's a saying, old buildings have cool ideas in them, and they really do, because they are unique and they have just that spirit. And so we, of course, love to see young people in our downtowns, but older people too. Those of us who are maybe looking to downsize, who want to be able to walk to services, walk to shops, have some coffee on the street, for example, we're going to find our way downtown as well.
Our phone number for you to join us again is 1-800-892-6477. A lot more to talk about after a short break. And we'll take your calls, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. We'll be right back.
This is NHPR 919. Good morning. NHPR members account for 40% of our annual revenue, allowing us to pay for programs like The Exchange and The Diane Rehm Show. Sustaining members provide us with a stable monthly income we can rely on as we make plans throughout the year. Sustainers make NHPR stronger. It's easy to join. Find out more at nhpr.org. Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and Ford & Associates PA, providing representation for businesses, trustees, and institutional creditors in bankruptcy and troubled debt matters. Ford & Associates PA. From the University of New Hampshire Graduate School, hosting spring information sessions in Durham and Manchester. Individual grad school program details at gradschool.unh.edu. And from Newburyport 5-Cent Savings Bank, opening soon in Portsmouth for full-service banking and career opportunities. Information online at newburyportbank.com/careers. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're checking in on the state's downtowns and recent efforts to revitalize them, what we've learned about what works and what doesn't when it comes to boosting downtown. We invite you to join us. Your thoughts, questions, and comments on this topic, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. You can also post a comment on our Facebook page. And Robbie Grady, Carrie Deers, Ben Frost, let's go to the callers now. And Charles is calling in from Durham. Hi, Charles, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I want to just mention that I think that the work that Ben and Carrie and Robbie are doing is fantastic. Communities really need that support. One thing I haven't really heard you talk about is leadership. And in my experience in working with communities, it's not always the lack of plans and vision that trips communities up, but sometimes it's the lack of leadership to move that vision forward, whether it's engaging local residents in decision-making or building volunteers to get vested in a project. So I guess my question to the panelists is, how do you help communities that don't necessarily have the right mix of leadership to build their capacity so that they can carry a project forward?
Wow, Charles, a great question. Carrie, what do you think?
Well, successful downtowns definitely rest on community effort and support. And I think it really needs that core group of people, whether it's an organization such as Main Street Program or some organized group of people, to work and communicate with the leadership in town, the town officials, to move things forward. It really is a partnership of businesses and local folks and those community officials to really have that successful mix of things. So identifying who those champions are in the community, whether it's, you know, maybe a business leader who's kind of taking the lead on, you know, a beautification effort or something like that, to identify those champions and connect them with the people who do have the plans.
Yeah, and leadership, but also, Robbie, community buy-in.
Absolutely.
You don't want to feel like it's being imposed on you by a couple businesses or a couple city planners.
Or certainly from the outside. I think that's one of, you know, New Hampshire, we are locally based. And you mentioned, you know, how do you get started? It really does take that grassroots effort. It can't come from the top down. It has to be those local champions, as Carrie said, that person who's willing to make that first positive step forward. And sometimes it's a business owner, sometimes it's a customer, sometimes it's someone in a political office. But it takes that leader to come forward. And I hear you. It's hard to find that person sometimes because it's risky.
And why is it risky, first of all?
Because you're making changes. And everybody is.
Are you saying people don't like change?
Well, you know, there are those. Even if change for the better, sometimes is painful. So you have to take that risk. You have to find that person who's willing to put their money where their mouth is sometimes. In Goffstown, we have one particular champion, Larry Brown, who was the first president of the Goffstown Main Street program. He gathered some other business owners on Main Street who were just concerned that we had so many empty storefronts and our downtown was really deteriorating. He gathered some momentum and gathered some friends together to find out what we could do, what could happen. And, you know, 10 years, 13 years later, we're not there yet. We've still got a long ways to go because deterioration doesn't happen overnight, and fixing it all in one fell swoop doesn't happen either. It's all small steps forward. So even if you're out there in Durham, you've made a lot of steps over the years. You've had a lot of successes. You need to find those people again who say, you know, they're not happy with the way things are. Let's make things better.
And that leader has to have a thick skin, it sounds like, Robbie.
Yeah, sometimes you do.
Go ahead, Ben.
You know, I think what the point that Robbie makes about things taking time is extraordinarily important. The first time I saw Manchester, I was a kid of probably 10 years old, and it was a February day. We were driving down 293, and I looked across the river, and I saw these boarded-up mills, and it was just a desolate industrial wasteland. And it took the vision of a lot of people to recognize that something different could happen in Manchester. And now, 40 years later, I'm dating myself, you see what has gone on there. But it took, over the past 20 years, the mill district has been transformed because the city recognized that it wasn't going to keep the heavy manufacturing that had been there. They needed a different vision. They got it. And they recognized that mixing uses, residences, office space, and some light manufacturing, institutional uses, all essentially cohabiting that space has been an extraordinarily successful recipe for Manchester. Now, Manchester is taking another direction too. Just on the south side of downtown, the new Market Basket is open. And thinking about today's show, I went to that Market Basket last night and I looked around and I saw the parking lot was packed. It was just a buzz with activity. But what distinguished that grocery store from so many others was that people were streaming in on foot from the surrounding neighborhoods. That is different. And that's one of the great benefits of having a grocery store in a downtown.
All right. Well, thanks for that call. And let's take another one. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Nancy's calling in from Jaffrey. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Hi. Thank you. I moved here about 16 years ago and started a bed and breakfast in Jaffrey Center. So to meet people, I got involved with the early days of our Main Street organization. And what amazed me right away and what has remained the absolute core is to find out that Jaffrey people love Jaffrey. They were heartbroken that they didn't have a vibrant downtown, And we have always worked, rather than just have one leader, it has always been the community. And no matter how many times stores have recycled, or board of directors have recycled, or our selectmen have recycled, the commitment to build that downtown has been there.
Nancy, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
What are some of the mistakes you've made along the way that you would share with us? I mean, I'm sure there have been some bumps. It hasn't been an all upward trajectory.
Mistakes. I am not... I'm not aware of too many mistakes.
Or challenges that you've encountered, let me put
it that way.
Well,
there are some challenges is that there are a couple of buildings that we've had to really work with the owners to upgrade their facades and signage. There's some buildings that have long-term leases that we wish we could turn over in order to have more small businesses. And, you know, we go an up and down economic cycles. Like right now, we have empty storefronts. But we go out and really work hard to get some new businesses in. And I think some of our new businesses, even if they do move out or they do move to other streets in Jaffrey, we almost think of downtown as an incubator because it's offered so many opportunities to start a business, for somebody to start a business, run it, and maybe they fail, but, you know, then we have to go out and look again.
Okay. Well, Nancy, thanks a lot for calling in. And, boy, she brought up a lot of points. But I guess one that I would raise with you maybe, Ben, is revitalizing old buildings. And, you know, everybody loves that. They're beautiful. That sounds great. But sometimes the effort to revitalize old buildings runs into modern codes, standards, mm-hmm. No, you can't do this. So it's harder than it sounds.
It's extremely difficult to rehab old buildings, but there are a lot of developers out there who are willing to take that risk and have the experience doing it. So Jaffrey's actually a great example. There's the old Jaffrey Mill building right in the heart of downtown that was vacant for years. And Frank Sterling, who's on the Board of Selectmen in Jaffrey, described it as a black hole that sucked the life out of the center of the community. A developer came in and using the low-income housing tax credit program and other funding sources, turned that into apartment buildings for low-income folks, some seniors and others.
So housing right downtown in Jaffrey.
Housing right downtown in Jaffrey, and those people shop at the stores that are in downtown Jaffrey. And that has made a big difference for that town.
And it's been a couple years since I've been to Jaffrey, so excuse me for not knowing this, but could those folks who live downtown, you know, not just go to the quaint little antique shop, but also get groceries or, you know, scotch tape or socks? I mean, is that available?
Yeah, Jaffrey is a really walkable community. There's a grocery store just up the road that is walkable from the downtown, maybe a 10-minute walk. So mm-hmm. You can get just about everything you need on a daily basis right in the downtown of Jaffrey.
Wow, and you wanted to jump in, Robbie. Go ahead.
I wanted to add about the difficulties that sometimes we have rehabbing old buildings. And one of the things that Ben was really successful at was bringing in RSA 79E, which is a tax abatement program. It caps pre-rehab, caps the tax assessment at pre-rehabilitation levels.
I see. So if you rehab it and all of a sudden it's fabulous and it's worth many, many more dollars, your tax rate is assessed at the pre-rehabilitation level.
Correct. And this is one thing that municipalities have to enact. It is on the books as an enabling legislation. And so lots of communities have taken it on, and it can help with those funding issues because it is very expensive to rehab old buildings. But this is one of the ways that the partnerships in the state have come together to make it easier to
Although
keep those
buildings.
Although it
does mean less dollars on the tax rolls for the city.
Ah, only for that short period of time because it doesn't go forever.
It's a temporary tax credit.
And it's an incentive to increase that tax base because the building could sit there as it is, never be improved. You're not going to make any money that way either.
Carrie.
I just wanted to pick up on that point about revitalizing old buildings. And there's a great example in Nashua, Palm Square, where it was an old, I think, casket manufacturer at some point. And the owner took it on and worked with the city and worked with the neighborhood to really take a look at We need a restaurant. We need housing. We need, you know, and so in this one building is all of are all of those things. And it's a great example of what you can do with some old space and make it really vital and vibrant.
All right. Well, good to hear from Jaffrey, a downtown that I had not thought of. So that's great. I'm glad she called in. Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Alex is waiting in Concord. Hi, Alex. You're on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thank you. I actually changed my destination because of your conversation today and getting coffee downtown Concord right now.
Yay.
But my biggest issue with shopping downtown, and I love shopping in downtown, is everybody closes at 5 o'clock in Concord. So if you work a normal schedule, you can't shop downtown.
Yeah, and the mall is open till at least 7, 8, sometimes 9 o'clock, Alex.
And, and I've actually never had an issue with parking in Concord as long as I'm willing to do a little walking or park in the garage.
Yeah, so parking's not an issue for you, but it's the hours of those stores.
It's the hours.
Yeah, what do you guys think? You're all nodding your head. I'm sure you've heard this before, Robbie?
Oh, Alex, I feel for you. I know that pain. Studies show that most shopping is done after 6 p.m. However, a lot of our small businesses are one-man shops or mom-and-pop shops that haven't quite gotten the hang of extending their hours past 5 o'clock. And that is a problem, and one that downtown organizations work to try to solve. One of the things that we recommend to downtown owners is that they shift their hours. Instead of opening at 9 and going to 5, that they open at 10 and go to 6 or 7. And where we can do that, it helps. But it takes a long time. You can't just do it for a couple of weeks and hope to see results. Business owners have to be patient and know that it takes consumers several months or even years to change their shopping habits. So I know what you're talking about. It's a struggle for all of us. So you small business owners out there, listen up.
Yeah, it's tough, though, because if only 10 people come in, is it really worth staying open that late? Thanks a lot for the call, Alex. Our phone number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. And boy, I've got a couple emails I'd love to share with you. Here's one from Carla in Stratham. She says, over dinner during restaurant week in Portsmouth, a friend relayed a comment she heard about from a 50-plus downtown Portsmouth resident that resonated. This person said, it's Main Street USA, Disneyland, everything you want, nothing you need. There's no grocery, pharmacy, or dry cleaner in downtown Portsmouth. Carla says, having everyday services available is a key element for a vibrant downtown. Convenience does count for something. Carrie, boy, this is something I know planners think about. I mean, it's great to differentiate yourself from the mall or the Target. On the other hand, people need cough drops. They need socks.
Right. And this actually was a huge point of discussion on the Concord Main Street Committee, talking about how Concord views itself, whether it's a convenience, you know, that you run in, you go to CVS, you do your errands, or a destination where you want to spend time. And we spent a lot of time talking about, can't we be both? Can't we accommodate those the people who come work in the area and want to come run and do an errand, and those who want to spend a little bit more time after hours? And so that's the goal, is to be both. You have to be accommodating and have that healthy mix of the conveniences as well as the sort of interesting, different places and shops to go.
Right. If you're a little too cute and a little too quaint, there's really no reason to go there, except maybe if you're shopping for an anniversary gift or a Christmas gift or something. And that's not enough. That's not sustainable.
Right.
Roger Brooks, who's a downtown destination development guru, says that if the place isn't as a good place to live, then it's not a good place to visit either. So you have to have those conveniences. You have to have the things that the barbershop, the beauty parlor, you have to have the things that people need, so that you can also have the things that people want.
Ben, go ahead, jump in.
Well, I think that, you know, people are looking for different things too. A few minutes ago we were talking about the aging baby boomers, and I know there are many of us here. But in order for us to be able to attract a younger generation to New Hampshire and to keep those younger people here who are already here, we're going to have to be doing something different. And that means providing opportunities for people to be able to live in downtown areas so that businesses in turn can also thrive. Mm-hmm. And we're not quite sure what the mix is, but and a lot of different communities are experimenting with different things. Just last night, the Claremont City Council adopted its first comprehensive revision to its zoning ordinance in 50 years.
Wow.
And this is part of its city center project. You know, if you're familiar with Claremont, you recognize that there's Washington Street, which is where all the big box stores are, and that kind of pulled the life out of the downtown. Claremont is refocusing on its downtown by providing opportunities for developers to build it, and just making it easier for them, making the standards simpler and clearer, and making the process shorter and easier.
Let's take one more call, if we could, before the break. This is Chris in Nashua. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I do a lot of business travel, and I'm fortunate enough to be able to visit a lot of towns. And, of course, I have lived in some suburbs in other states. And one thing I can say is I really love the authentic nature of Nashua's Main Street. It seems like it is the real deal. It's full of history. In every way, it's authentic, which is something I do value. However, as a father of two twins, 2 years old, I don't really feel like I want to stay there. Like I might go to Alex Shoes to buy some shoes. I might take the wife to Martha's Exchange. Might stop in Bank of America to, you know, do a little banking. But I don't want to dwell there. It doesn't. There's no pedestrian mall like you have in Pearl Street. There's no pocket parks like you have in New York. There's no reason to hang out there. If that makes any sense, it's not a pleasant place to just hang for an hour. If you know what I mean.
And yeah.
So it's I'm in and I'm out. The other thing tied to that theme is, I guess part of that is I feel like Main Street is designed to quickly get traffic from one side of town to the other, but, you know, it's just not a pleasant place. I feel rushed. And, of course, the motorcycles, when they really rev it up, I can't even have a conversation, you know, when I do go to Martha's Exchange and sit outside. So.
Yeah. Chris, great points. Yeah, it totally makes sense. And, you know, one of the things, and maybe we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. Kerry, you're in Nashua, so I'll turn to you. One of the things he talked about is a place to hang out, no pocket parks. Concord successfully redeveloped two little downtown pockety parks, and people do hang out there, as he says. They don't just rush in and rush out. So that's a great example, Chris. We'll talk after a short break. We'll take a lot more of your calls, too. 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And we'll be back in just a minute.
This is NHPR, where support comes from UR members and from Liberty Utilities, sponsor of 10 button-up New Hampshire home weatherization workshops, including April 15th at the Bedford Public Library. For details, email nhsaves@libertyutilities.com. And the Diabetes and Endocrinology Center at Frisbee Memorial Hospital in Rochester, providing comprehensive diabetes care to patients across southeastern New Hampshire. FrisbeeHospital.com. 940, this is NHPR.
I'm Todd Bookman, health reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio. Health is really a bit of everything. It's science, research, life, death, doctors, the aches and pains of insurance and reform. It really touches every part of our lives. As health reporter, my job is to explore how we're impacted by a changing landscape, by advancements in technology, by shifts in policy, the struggles each of us face really to live healthier lives.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about dressing up downtown around the state as a tool of economic and community development. Join us 1-800-892-6477. Tell us about your downtown, its efforts, how you see them going. Our number again, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. And Kerry Deers, again, you're Executive Director of the Nashua Regional Planning Commission. So let's turn to you for a comment from Chris's phone call. He said, yes, I go downtown to maybe go out to eat, maybe get some shoes, maybe do a little banking, but I feel rushed. There's nowhere for me to hang out with my kids there.
Right. And Chris makes a good point. Public space is a really key element to a successful downtown or successful community. It's important to have that focus where people can come and hang out, meet up. And there's an organization called the Project for Public Spaces, and they have a thing called the Power of 10. And it's, are there 10 activities to do within a destination? And not that they're active activities. It could be passive, sitting on a bench, getting ice cream, having the library nearby. Are there things for people to do? And if you don't have those in your community, can you create them? And yes, you can. You know, as you redevelop an area, a block or a building burns down, is there an opportunity to turn that into a little public space? And I do want to mention that one thing that Nashua is doing really well is they're creating these public art, the sculpture symposium, where they have artists come and create public art, and then they put it along the Main Street corridor and have created a map where people can kind of walk along and, you know, enjoy this public art. And so it's a marrying of culture and art and revitalizing downtown and creating that public space for people to be. And it's really important to draw people, to create destinations, to have people kind of linger a little bit.
Instead of just rushing through and going to the bank and heading out. Did you want to jump in there too,
yes,
Robbie? And when we say public park, we're not talking about, you know, Central Park. It can be a little tiny space. It doesn't even need to be green. It can be bricked over.
Correct. I think you mentioned Bicentennial Square here in Concord. It is a place where you can go and hang and buy ice cream. And Wilton has taken over an area that was formerly a parking space. So talk about getting rid of parking. They put in a park. Up in Ossipee, we are seeing they're developing a small little pocket park. So even small communities know that you have to have that place where kids will hang out.
Mm-hmm. Ben?
I live in Warner, which is just a great little town. And in the center of town, there is this little pocket park where everything happens. It's between the library and between the bookstore, and that's where the farmer's market is. There's a new arts venue being developed. It's the heart of the community.
Well, again, thanks a lot for that call. It's a great point, Chris. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. And I want to bring another voice into our conversation now. Dan Scanlon is with us. He's a licensed New Hampshire real estate broker who also serves on the New Hampshire Commercial Board of Realtors. And Dan, good to have you. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
Well, when we talk about downtown, you know, people often think first about commercial real estate, especially retailers, but also maybe law offices and other businesses. How do you encourage these folks, Dan, to come downtown? How do you get this ball rolling?
Well, I would focus primarily on Manchester because that's the market that I know the most about. And Manchester has a leg up, I think, in other communities because it is the financial and professional center of the state. So we do have a lot of firms down here. There are a couple of factors that come into play for businesses thinking about moving downtown, apart from the space, because we have plenty of space available, especially in the towers downtown. Parking always seems to be the issue that people are concerned about. There's all kinds of stories of businesses that are out in the office parks in Bedford that can literally drive up to their doors and park, and they just can't do that downtown. I think the lack of parking downtown is a little bit overplayed because there is parking, but you can't do it the same way that you do in Bedford. And the other issue, I think to some extent, and it's becoming more of an issue, is housing. There are companies that want to be downtown but want their employees to be able to live downtown. And that issue is starting to be addressed by some additional housing that has been built and recently opened.
So it's kind of a chicken and egg issue in terms of housing. The businesses want to move down there, but they want their employees to be there so that there's housing there. And yet I'm guessing that the housing developers think, well, I don't want to build unless I know that I've got a ready market. So who goes first? Who jumps in the water first?
It really is a chicken and egg, Laura, and it has to do with housing. It has to do with retail. It had to do with the grocery store situation. One of your panelists mentioned a little while ago about Market Basket. Setting up shop downtown. Now, Market Basket is not right in the central business district. It's a little bit off. But for years and years, people wanted a grocery store in Manchester, and the grocery stores would say, well, gee, there's not enough people who live downtown for us to warrant putting a store there. Market Basket took the leap, and I guess we'll have to see how that turns out. And so on the housing side, we've had housing downtown for many years. We've got the Wall Street Towers, which is a multi-story building with a lot of apartments. Manchester Place opened up a few years ago. They seem to have pretty good occupancy. But there's a lot of people that are demanding housing downtown, and I would submit it's a lot of young people who are here. Students who go to the Art Institute, UNH Manchester to some extent, the pharmacy school, and then we have a lot of young people that are working downtown. Dyne is probably the perfect example of a company that attracts a lot of young people who would prefer to live downtown, and there are other companies like that. So recently there was 110 units that opened up in one of the old mills. The Brady Sullivan Group opened up the lofts at Mill Number 1, 110 units, and they're about half full, and they have people that are streaming and wanting to go into that place. I heard this morning about another residential development that will be coming online across from Market Basket on Elm Street. So we're starting to see it. And I'm curious to see how it's all going to work out with the supply and the demand.
Yeah, I'm really getting a sense from you, Dan. Again, somebody has to leap first, and it sounds like finally in Manchester, there's enough momentum where enough people are willing to make the leap.
Well, and hopefully the other side of the chicken and egg equation will come into play, especially on the retail side. Again, one of your panelists was talking earlier about if you provide the housing, will the services be here to meet the people who live here? Downtown Manchester does not have one national retailer, and I'm really curious to see whether this new housing that's coming online will attract that kind of retail to downtown other than all of the restaurants and bars that we've had for years.
Well, yeah, let me ask you about that if I could, Dan. You know, and kudos to Manchester. They've done a great job revitalizing Elm Street and definitely bringing in business and vitality to that mill area. But people do say, Dan, what you said, which is they focused a little too much on the nightlife aspect and not enough on sort of real life or daily life, if I could call it that. Too many bars and restaurants, not enough, you know, stores where you can get what you need.
Yeah, it is a real dichotomy. You have a very strong daytime population with all the people who work in the offices and the businesses, and so the restaurants and cafes do very well with them. There are some shops in the Hanover Street area that are similar to a lot of the shops that are on Main Street in Concord or in Nashua, but there isn't a real strong concentration of them. And then at night, it's a totally different crowd, people streaming in to go to the restaurants and the bars. And I would submit that may be a different group than those who are going to the concerts at Verizon or to the ballpark for a baseball game. There's a lot of different things that are happening in different parts of the downtown.
Well, and you work in commercial real estate, Dan. You know, so you're on the private sector end, and yet everybody says it's always a public-private enterprise that makes these things successful. What would you say to the city officials, the town officials, from your perspective? You know, I want to help you out. I want to do this. I want to help myself. But make it a little easier for me. What would you say?
Yeah, I think that flexibility is really the key. I've always believed that the marketplace speaks. Businesses will come to downtown for reasons other than zoning. Zoning may make it difficult for them to come downtown, but they're going to want to be here for reasons that government can't always control. I was just in a discussion this morning with some people talking about the buildings that are on Elm Street and being able to convert them to housing. We've got buildings that have been there for literally 100 years that have retail on the bottom floor and then office space on the higher floors. There's less demand for office space these days because people are working virtually, they're working collaboratively, and you just don't need as much office space. Wouldn't it be great if you could convert that space to office space? Well, it's difficult to do that because of...
You mean to housing space?
I'm sorry, to housing space. It's difficult to do that because of a lot of the life safety codes that are in place.
I see.
We have to reach some kind of a balance. Obviously, we want to meet life safety code requirements, but at the same time, we want to make it a little bit easier to convert that space and allow people to live downtown.
All right, Dan, good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
That's Dan Scanlon, a licensed New Hampshire real estate broker who also serves on the New Hampshire Commercial Board of Realtors. And all of you, let's go back to our listeners. And Arlen's calling in from Newmarket. Hi, Arlen. You're on The Exchange. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Great. Yeah, I'm sitting here at my desk in the mills, looking over the Lamprey River and the Heron Point conservation area. These mills I'm in were redone about 2 years ago, about 200,000 square feet of them in downtown Newmarket, and included about 110 residential units and about 20% commercial.
So, so it's really, got a, Yeah, mixed use then, Arlen. Go ahead, sorry.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm actually president of the Newmarket Community Development Corporation. We owned the mills before we turned them over to the developer. And my caveat for anyone with such an inventory is to plan well in advance. We created, along with Cecil Group out of Boston, an RFP for developers that told prospective developers exactly what the community was looking for. So we've got artist live workspace, we've got a civic and cultural center, we've got residential units, we've got a minimum amount of commercial access to the waterfront. And most importantly, you were talking about pocket parks earlier. We incorporated an old lot and turned it into a viewing node, if you will, looking out over the Lamprey and the restored mills.
Hey, Arlen, can I ask you a question? Yeah, and this is great, and it sounds wonderful. We've heard from a couple listeners, callers and emailers, saying, yes, it's lovely, yes, it's great, but I can't get, you know, my prescription refilled, or I can't, you know, buy some bread that I need for sandwiches. You know, do you have that as well? That practical end?
That's an interesting point. We have a little bit of strip development on 108 South leading into town, and that includes a much-needed pharmacy that's been around for 8 or 10 years, and that was a great addition to town. And, yeah, you can't gentrify to the point where you can't get what you need on a daily basis. There's at one point, we had one of the chain supermarkets thinking about putting in a demi store, you know, 10 or 15,000 square feet. And I think that's still, you know, being anticipated. So you don't have to drive to Stratham or to Dover or to Durham for basic needs. But one of the things you find with the additional 100-plus residential units downtown is that defines what the services are. It's like, hey, where do I go to, you know, get my hair cut? Where do I go?
That's what Ben talked about earlier. Yeah, and Dan Scanlon talked about that as well from Manchester, talking about, again, the chicken and egg. Go ahead, Ben Frost, real quick. Thanks a lot for the call, Arlen.
Well, I think Arlen's point is really important, and Newmarket is a great success story. You know, Newmarket had a very clear vision of what it wanted, and it was fortunate to have a developer who was willing to move into that and take over that space. But I think we need to balance that against what Dan was saying, too, and the need for flexibility, because, you know, our cities and towns may have a vision that doesn't really fit with what the market is offering. So there has to be some flexibility to allow developers to do things that, you know, the communities might not automatically think about.
Yeah, and it's interesting to hear about Newmarket. Here's an email from Heidi in Dover. Her family moved from the outskirts of Dover to downtown a few years ago. We love it. We walk more than we drive, including my daughter's school, library, coffee shop, barber, museums, toy store, parks, restaurants, etc. Heidi says Dover has come a long way in developing downtown, but I'm still frustrated by the lack of grocery and pharmacy shopping downtown. Dover is continually ranked nationally as a great place to live and do business. And I've been to Dover in the last couple of years, and it is great. And they do have the green space and everything downtown. But here we go again, Robbie. We don't have to talk about this too much, but here we go again, a frustration with, you know, the lack of the basics.
I can understand that. We're very fortunate in Goffstown. We have a locally owned pharmacy, one of the few left in New Hampshire, and a locally owned grocery store, and that makes a huge difference. And getting local stores to step up and carry those kinds of items may be difficult, and yet national chains want bigger spaces than we can afford downtown.
Yeah. Well, and here's another email. This is from Kathy, who says, what disappoints me about Main Street is that they forget about all of us that are handicapped, and they don't care about encouraging these towns to become handicapped accessible. Goffstown Main Street does nothing about having handicapped parking. They have no handicapped spot on their municipal lot. They have no handicapped parking on the street. I've asked and I've been ignored. I can't go to events, not even to their pharmacy. Thank you, says Kathy. I'll turn to you, Robbie, since you're from Goffstown, but also you, Carrie. That's been an issue in Concord, too. Again, you know, you want everybody to come downtown, but there are certain people who can't. And as the population ages, those numbers are only going to grow. Go ahead, Robbie.
Goffstown's municipal parking lot at Town Hall does indeed have handicapped parking spaces. We put in the required tip downs years ago, and this summer the town put in the raised bumps for the tip at
the curb cuts.
The curb cuts. Thank you.
Yeah.
As far as the
some of the individual buildings, just the building that I work in, is not accessible. And I found that out when I broke my ankle last summer.
Wow.
It was difficult. And that is a challenge for historic properties.
Yeah, Carrie, that's been a challenge downtown Concord, too.
It has been. And I think we spend a lot of time on the Main Street Committee considering how to make downtown Main Street more accessible. And I think Steve Dupree had the goal of making Concord the most accessible, accessibly friendly community. And as the reconstruction happens, we're definitely looking to improve, because, you know, the more people that can come, the more successful Main Street is, and it's open to all. And I think that's the key, is that everyone has an opportunity to enjoy the downtown.
Yeah, Kathy, thanks for the email. Ben, just to wrap up with you, your best advice to those communities who want to get this city center revitalized, who have a good city center but are worried about it, give us your best advice.
Be open to new ideas, be flexible, talk to developers, find out what they need in order to be able to locate in your downtown. Because the regulations we adopt, they are asks for developers. They tell developers what we want, and if developers can't do it, they're not going to be there.
All right, Ben, good to see you. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Ben Frost, Director of Public Affairs for New Hampshire Housing. Carrie, good to see you too. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Carrie Deers, Executive Director of the Nashua Regional Planning Commission. And Robbie Grady, it's great to meet you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Robbie Grady, Executive Director of the Goffstown Main Street Program. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Faith Meixel. Our executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Kanoy.
Can't forget all our troubles, forget all